comfortable bottle-green leather wing chairs were in one corner, angled slightly to face each other. A small sherry table stood between them. Anson gestured to the chairs. "Have a seat, Harry." Harry eased himself gratefully into the luxurious chair. It creaked a little. "Or is that my back?" Harry asked himself. A bottle and two tiny tulip glasses stood on a table. "Have some sherry?" Anson asked as he sat facing Harry. "It's Amontillado, my favorite." Harry hesitated, then hoisted his club soda as he replied, "I've got to drive home." Anson nodded. "Smart fellow." Harry felt uncomfortable. He didn't know what to say, didn't know if it was okay to rest his glass on the inlaid wood of the little table between them. Anson solved Harry's dilemma by sliding a thick green marble coaster across the table as he asked, "How's the rebuilding work going?"
"We're on schedule, Mr. Anson. A little ahead of schedule, actually."
"Good," said Anson. Leaning forward slightly, his slender hands on his knees, he went on, "This laser project is very important, Harry. Extremely important."
"I know."
Harry hesitated, wondering how Anson would react to being questioned, but worked up the courage to say,
"Mr. Anson, is it all right if I ask you a question?"
"Certainly," Anson replied grandly. Then with a sly wink he added, "I don't guarantee that I'll answer it, though." Harry forced a perfunctory laugh. "So what's your question, son?"
Trying not to let his nervousness show in his voice, Harry said, When the accident happened and Pete Quintana died, we all thought, that you'd pick Monk Delaney to replace Pete as program engineer."
Anson's face went dour. For several long moments he said nothing while Harry berated himself for going too far. At last Anson said slowly, "Not Delaney. No, Harry, he wouldn't do. Not serious enough. I needed a man who could get the job done. That man is you, Harry, and nobody else."
Swallowing before he could speak again, Harry said, "Thank you, sir. I was, well, sort of surprised when you picked me."
With a thin smile, Anson said, "That's one of your good qualities, my boy. You don't have a swelled head."
Harry couldn't think of a thing to say.
Anson went on, "I've talked General Scheib into giving us a go-ahead for flight tests as soon as we prove the rebuilt laser works."
"Flight tests?"
"Yes. That's where the real money is, Harry. Systems integration and then flight tests."
"We'll have to test the coil on the ground first, make sure we've got all the bugs out."
"Of course," said Anson. "Of course. But I want to stress to you, Harry, how important this program is. I've sunk a lot of the company's money into your coil. I'm swinging for the fences with this one."
Harry thought, "It isn't my coil."
Anson went on, "You see, Harry, I believe in this laser idea. The United States is under threat, you know, a grave threat. It's bad enough that the Russians and the Chinese have whole fleets of ballistic missiles aimed at us."
"I thought they'd agreed to retarget their missiles just like we did," Harry interrupted. "They signed an agreement, didn't they? A treaty?"
Anson waved an impatient hand. "They could target them back on our cities in a matter of hours."
Harry nodded.
"But it's these other people that threaten us. The Russians and Chinese know that if they try to hit us, we'll smash them back to the Stone Age with an overwhelming counterstrike. But what about terrorists? What about the crazies in North Korea and Iran?"
A blue vein in Anson.